Can I just pray? Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, that you just invite us to stay close to your heart. And Father, thank you that that's such a great place to be. Lord, there is no place like it. And so, Father, we thank you for taking us there this morning. Father, we thank you for that beautiful song by Kerry. And Lord God, for the gifts that you've given her. Father, thank you. Lord God, we pray, Lord, that as we look into your word, Lord God, as you will continue to minister to us, Lord God, just as you have through the worship and through that beautiful song, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. That's a fabulous song, isn't it? Yeah. Those that didn't recognize a couple of the songs, they were homegrown. One of them was Kerry's, as I've just mentioned. Another one was an Andy Reid song. So that's fantastic. Just want to say thanks to those that came out on the street yesterday with us. It was fantastic to be out there. And Richard came over from Maidenhead to join us as well, which was really exciting. And it was just so good to be out there praying for the sick. And I was just so blessed. I've got to tell you that I had an Asian guy came up to me and sort of walked up as though he knew me. And as I looked at him, I realized, actually, I had met him before, because when we'd been out there about 4 or 5 weeks ago, he'd come up and said, look, I've got a problem with my leg, with my knee. Would you mind praying? So we sat him on the chair and we prayed for him a month ago. And he came up on Saturday morning. I'm just so thrilled that he did that. And he said, yeah, there is a definite improvement. He said, my knee is about 50% better than it was. He said, but I've got a problem now with my shoulder. So we sit down and we prayed for him. And as we prayed, so the pain left him. And so we prayed again for his knee, because we believe that God does a complete work. But I tell you, it was just so wonderful to be there, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah, fantastic. I was reflecting recently about 8 years ago. I was working as a project manager in an engineering company. And and really, I wasn't enjoying it all that much. Sorry, I'm kicking the leads out of the way here. After 40 years working in engineering, you know, I'd sort of had it about up to here. And I remembered, you know, the dream that God had given me to do more in the church, to be more involved in mission. And I thought, well, you know, maybe this is the time actually to cut loose, to go, to throw off the shackles of regular employment, to throw off the 9-to-5 environment and the rest, to throw off the boredom of paperwork and procedures, and to throw off the pain of commuting. But, you know, I used to pray, Lord God, is it now? Will you do it? And you know, can we go for it? And then I'd think of the consequences, you know, about throwing away a very good salary, as indeed it was, about throwing away my right to any sort of redundancy payment, because the company wasn't having a very easy time at that time, and not being able to contribute to my pension anymore. You know, how could I service the mortgage debt which I still had? Perhaps I'd better stay where I was. Then the company threw me away. Gave me the order of the boot. It's time to go. Made me redundant. Out on my ear. And with minimum redundancy money, you know, I thought about, I'd been there 5 years, working staff, I'd been there contract before that, and you know, you think 5 years at my monthly salary, well, you know, I could live quite nicely on that for a while. But of course, it wasn't 5 years of my regular salary, it was 5 years of the minimum government wage, which whatever it was, £380. You know, times five, it wasn't really a lot of money. So, you know, panic immediately sets in, and I started to look for a job. But are you ever surprised when God answers prayers? Especially when he answers them in unusual ways. Because I couldn't find anything. I couldn't find anything. So, just thinking about that, you know, the sort of prayers that God answers. I'm going to be looking at one of the prayers that God really did answer in a spectacular way, really. And it's the prayer of Jabez. And probably many of you think, oh, yeah, well, I know that. But we're going to read it. If you've got your Bible, why don't you turn to it? It's 1 Chronicles chapter 4. That's page 525. And it's verse 9. And that says, now Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Just amazing prayer. Just 4 points. More blessing, more territory, more power, and protection from the devil. So simple. And yet God answered his prayer. So before looking a little bit closer at the prayer itself, I just thought, you know, it's always important, isn't it, to look at the context in which the scripture is given. People can preach whatever they want, really, out of the Bible, can't they? But it's from the book of Chronicles, which seems to repeat the history of the Jews that we've already read in Samuel and in Kings, except that it's written from God's perspective. And there isn't really a lot of context given. Jabez appears in a long list of names, doesn't he, of descendants of this clan and that clan, this person and that person, which does, I hope, underline how important each one of us is to God. He knows our name. He knows where we come from. He knows exactly, you know, what are our ambitions, what our aspirations are. And if you hear nothing other than that today, then I hope that that will encourage you. But even in the list of this names, it's broken by a remarkable testimony. Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. Now, honour relates to something that Jabez did. Some sort of respect he showed to God or to others. It's a title that people need to give to a person, isn't it? Doesn't mean too much, really, if I claim, well, you know, from henceforth I shall be known as Lord Tom. And every time you see me, I'd like you to bow. You know, you think, huh, who is he? You know, what right has he got to ask that? Of course it's rubbish. But actually, as we read here, that God has given him this testimony, given Jabez the title. He said, Jabez is an honourable man. And yet, who is he? Born in pain. Now, I know, every birth is painful. Either that or Annette is a very good actress. And yet something in Jabez's birth was so traumatic that it caused his mother to give him that title, that name, pain. Or trouble. And of course we don't know what exactly that was. Was it a breech birth? Perhaps Jabez's father had abandoned the family, you know, and it was going to be a very difficult time to bring the child up. Maybe they were just so poor, you know, the struggle that life was anyway. It was just going to get that much more harder. The only thing we know is that Jabez was given a name that would dog him for the rest of his life. Imagine him growing up. You know how unkind kids can be, can't they? Uh-oh, look out, here comes trouble. Or even the adults, you know. Now, what have you done to your mum now? That was the sort of legacy that Jabez had. But worse than that, even, in the culture of the day, a person's name carried with it a wish of his parents for a future. A prophetic statement of what he was to become. Now, three of our children was born. We were just Christians, weren't we, when Helen was born, our number three child. We got four children, three boys, that's right, one girl. Careful. Yeah. And when Matthew was born, we searched hard, you know, for the right name. And we named him Matthew because that means gift of God. And that indeed is what Matthew was. That's another story. There's another story sitting over here, isn't there? Glory. But imagine what it would have been like for Jabez as everything around him seemed to be going wrong, bringing pain to himself and to others. And yet Jabez rose above all of that and prayed a fantastic prayer of faith that, number one, God answered, and number two, God even wrote about so we could learn from it. What name do you have? What did the other children call you? What experiences have you endured in life? And what is your expectation for the future? However you regard yourself, God says there's more blessing, there's more influence, and more honour for you. Amen? So we're going to consider how Jabez prayed. Number one, he said, bless me indeed. Not just bless me. He said, bless me indeed. It's like he triple underlined it and put exclamation marks behind it. Bless me indeed. Weighed down by the sorrow of the past and the dreariness of today, Jabez sees only the impossibility for tomorrow and cries out, Father! Father, please bless me. And what I really mean is, bless me indeed. Bless me a lot. Bless me loads. I want bucket loads of blessing. Now, let's be clear that blessing is not like we say when somebody sneezes. The word has been watered down, hasn't it? It's even used by non-believers. It's almost like saying, have a nice day now. I can say that today because Mary's not here. Otherwise, she'd pick me up about my accent, I'm sure. But to bless, in a biblical sense, means to ask for or to impart supernatural favour. And when we ask for God's blessing, we're not asking for more of what we can achieve for ourselves. We're crying out for the wonderful, unlimited goodness that only God has the power to give us, to bring about, to effect in our lives. And that's what the writer says in Proverbs 10 verse 22, according to the Living Bible. It says, the Lord's blessing is our greatest wealth. All our works add nothing to it. So I just want to be clear that I'm not talking here about some sort of name it and claim it type of prayer. Jabez left it entirely up to God to decide what he was going to give him, when and how it would be received. Jabez just prayed that simple prayer. The Jabez prayer focuses on our wanting for ourselves nothing more and nothing less than what God wants for us. What if you found out today that God wanted to give you 17 specific blessings yesterday, but you only received one of them? What would be the reason for that? There's a fable about Mr. Jones. There's always a Mr. Jones, isn't there? Who dies and goes to heaven. And St. Peter's waiting there to show him around. And it's wonderful, you know, all the golden streets, the beautiful mansions, beautiful guitars, the jacuzzis. What is it you're looking for in heaven? It's there. And then he sees a really odd looking building. It looks like a warehouse and it's got no windows and only one door. And Mr. Jones asks to see inside and St. Peter says, no, you really don't want to see inside there. Of course, Mr. Jones insists, surely there's no secrets in heaven. What surprises could there be? And he opens the door and runs in, and lots of boxes, and they're gift wrapped with names on them. Oh, Mr. Jones, is there one for me? Well, yes, but you know, you really don't want to. Of course he wants to look, so he runs to the rack marked J, and he finds Mr. Jones and the right initials, and he tears off the ribbon and looks inside, and Mr. Jones has a moment of recognition and lets out a deep sigh, like Peter's heard so many times before. Because there in the box were all the blessings that God wanted to give him while he was on earth. But Mr. Jones had never asked. Ask, Jesus promised, and it will be given to you. James says, you do not have because you do not ask. See, even though there is no limit to God's goodness, if you didn't ask for a blessing yesterday, you didn't get all you were supposed to have. That's a catch, isn't it? If you don't ask, you don't get. Now, as a father, I know. I mean, my children are all grown up. They're all off my hands now. But I know, even now, when they want something. But I'm honoured when they actually come to me and ask me for it. It shows respect for me. And it shows their humility, you know, and actually asking for something that they can't do for themselves. And there I was, a year or so after being made redundant. I was at home. I'd given up actually trying to look for another job. Even part-time temporary work, I couldn't get anything. I'd given up signing on at the job centre because they'd stopped giving me any money. I was still paying my national insurance stamp, but that was about it. So I stopped doing that. I was supporting ourselves as best we were able. And I bought myself a little book called The Prayer of Jabez by Bruce Wilkinson. I don't know if anybody's read it. But I've got to say, if you have, you know, a lot of what I'm talking about today comes out of that book. So I just want to acknowledge the source. It did help me to prepare tremendously. But I decided to start praying that prayer of Jabez for myself. I prayed it regularly. I prayed it every day. Four simple points. And, you know, within a couple of months, I'd got a part-time job leading or helping to lead a small church in Kensington, North Kensington. What's more, they even paid me to do it part-time. But they paid me a couple of days a week, which really helped a lot. I started to run a UK arm of a missions agency which was reaching out to Asia, all parts of Asia, and taking teams of people to Nepal and then to China. Are they due back today? Tomorrow. Yeah, it's exciting. Have you heard? They're having a great time out in Nepal. Yeah. I took Colin Barnes over to Nepal the first time. You've heard this before, but he fell in love with the country despite the fact that he was sick as a dog. and now, of course, he's been over there. He's lived over there for a year and started a Bible school over there. And he goes along and helps out and taking a bunch of our young folk with him. So, yeah, it's part of the fruit, I think, of what I was involved in with the Sowers Ministry. And now I'm helping to lead River Church Slough. Albeit I didn't have a salary for the first couple of years, but I am at least getting paid for one day a week. Working a bit more than that, but there you go. But I'm blessed. I'm blessed by the wonderful new friends that I have here. And that's fantastic. And by the opportunities that God has given me. I've been able to grow, I hope, into the role, you know, that I'm filling. So not only am I blessed, but God has increased my territory. And that's the second part of Jabez's prayer. That's where you ask God to enlarge your life so that you can make a bigger impact for him. Kerry mentioned that we're doing the Kairos course. We got the next part on Wednesday. Fantastic. And when we started that course, you know, probably week one, we looked at Abraham, the call to Abraham, wasn't it? And God's covenant with him. I will bless you, Abraham, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. The top line, I will bless you. The bottom line, and I will bless others through you. And I think this is Jabez's response to the second part of that prayer, really. You know, he wanted to be blessed, that he might bless. See, it wasn't just a plea for more land. Jabez wanted more influence, he wanted more responsibility, and he wanted more of an opportunity to make God famous. It's like Jabez looked at his life as a farmer and said, surely I was born for more than this. Do you ever feel like that? Surely I was born for more than this. Now, if Jabez was a businessman, he might have prayed for more business, a bigger company. Is it okay to pray like that? Well, if God has called you to business and you're doing business in God's way, then of course you're honouring him in that business. Then I believe that you should ask for more. In fact, I believe that God's waiting for you to ask. Whatever business God has trusted to you, he wants you to accept it as a significant opportunity to touch individual lives. The business community, education, media, the larger world, for his glory. Amen. Amen. Asking him to enlarge that opportunity actually brings him delight. Supposing Jabez had been a wife and a mother, then her prayer might have gone, Lord, add to my family, favour my key relationships, multiply for your glory the influence of my household. Who knows that the home is our single most powerful area on earth to change a life for good. And we've certainly seen that for ourselves with the extended family that we've had in our house, opening our house up to all sorts of people. Mostly so long as they could pay. But but seeing lives actually changed as a result of coming to live with us. So why wouldn't God want you to be mighty for him? And since praying the prayer of Jabez, God has increased my territory. I found new favour and more opportunity with people that I would never have dreamed of, that I would have the chance to meet. Will you pray for more territory and for more ministry? See, most of us think our lives are too full already, but when you start to pray like this for more and more opportunities to expand, so God also gives you the ability and the resources to succeed. Whatever our gifts, education or vocation might be, our calling is to do God's work on earth. Most of us feel a reluctance to do more. We often feel that, well, my abilities, experience and training, plus my personality and appearance, my past and the expectation of others equals my assigned territory. But we forget, don't we, about all those scriptures that talk about God's power working in us. Our God is a supernatural God, amen? Who specializes in working through normal people, people like you and me. And the formula really looks like my willingness and weakness plus God's will and his supernatural power equals my expanding territory. Amen. So I've seen an enlargement of my territory. I've got to say that at times that looks pretty alarming. It's great to have the opportunity to preach, but I am so aware of the responsibility that that places on me. What does God want me to say? Is this really from God? Is this message really from God for today? Yeah? Oh. Or am I speaking out of the flesh and not of the Holy Spirit? Am I doing the word justice? And it's great to see when God is blessing his people through your message. But and of course the English are very restrained. When you ask if you can pray for anybody that maybe God has put his finger on something in their lives, you know, most English people sit there and think, maybe tomorrow, you know, or whatever it is. I'll tell you what, the mission trips that I've made, it's not like that in China, in Nepal and India. That right? Kerry's agreeing after coming back from, where was it? Sierra Leone, yeah. You're swamped by people wanting prayer. And, you know, if I'm honest, I've got to say sometimes that scares me stiff. You know, God has used me in healing, and I want to be used increasingly in healing. I want to be a worker of miracles, but faced with a sort of crush of people that can come, all looking for something that basically I don't have, you know, I start to waver. Maybe you felt the same. You've seen God's blessing, more opportunities have come to you, and suddenly you think, I don't have the experience or the resources to do this. I don't have the ability. And I had this in China in April. I was speaking at one place, and I felt that there was just a few people that needed to respond to something. And I gave a request, you know, that if you was affected by that, you know, to come and I would pray for them. Most of the room flooded full. And, you know, they were not polite. They didn't stand in lines. You know, they come and jumbled around, and I couldn't push through them even. They were so crowded. And we feel out of control. But perhaps that's the best place for us to be, out of control. I've got this bit underlined. Let me read this to you. It's a frightening truth that as God's chosen, blessed sons and daughters, we are expected to attempt something large enough that failure is guaranteed unless God steps in. I'm going to say that again. It's a frightening truth that as God's chosen, blessed sons and daughters, we're expected to attempt something large enough that failure is guaranteed unless God steps in. Doesn't make sense in the natural, does it? Yeah, it's God's plan for developing dependence in us upon him. And we're forced to cry out with Jabez, oh, that your hand would be with me. Lord, oh, that your hand would be with me. The hand of the Lord is a biblical term for God's power and presence in the lives of people. And that cry releases God's power to accomplish his will and bring him glory. How many times do we start doing things in our own strength? And for a while they may be manageable, but as the boundaries get pushed out, it gets harder and harder, doesn't it? We need to know God's divine hand and fast. And I knew that I didn't have anything to give those people in China when they come clamoring around me for prayer. And all I could do was just to basically reach up, put my hand in the hand of the Father. Just tell him, Lord, I don't have it. Father, you've got to do it. And I just went for it and started praying, and many folk got blessed. Many folk got blessed. I just know that. So God met my need and he met those people's needs. But this power is not just for me. It's there for every one of us that ask him. Father, please do this in me because I can't do it alone. And afterwards you know and you rejoice in your spirit. God did that and nobody else. God wants us to be being filled with the Holy Spirit, not just a one-off experience. Every day. We see in the Bible how this led to people being emboldened to speak and to act as Jesus spoke and acted. We see miracles happening under the salt-encrusted hands of simple fishermen, ordinary women and men like you and us, doing extraordinary acts. Have we cried out for his hand to be upon us? Have we waited long enough to actually hear from him and to receive that which we've asked? 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And I'm sure you know this already, but he's not looking for spiritual giants. He's not looking for honours degree Bible students. He's looking for hearts that are sincerely loyal to him. Your heart is the only part of his expansion plan that he will not provide. Made a mess of that, didn't I? Let me read it again. Your heart is the only part of his expansion plan that he will not provide. You've got to give him that. We're only one cry away from a life filled with Holy Spirit exploits. But beware. Success brings with it greater opportunities for failure. How many Christian leaders do you know, or you read about, that have fallen into sin, dropped out of ministry, and left behind many disillusioned and hurting people? Blessedness can reduce or dull our sense of dependence on God. And the further along in a life of supernatural service we get, the more we'll need the final part of Jabez's prayer. Keep me from sin, that I may not cause pain. Who knows that Satan's not going to bother somebody that's not doing any exploits for God, who's not a threat to Satan's kingdom. But as we take more and more territory for the kingdom, so the enemy is going to start targeting us and our families. We heard about that yesterday as we prayed before we went out on the street, and we prayed for each other and afterwards, because there had been some attack after we'd gone out on the streets. I tell you, I felt good when I went home yesterday. The first week I went home, absolutely washed out, but I felt good when I went home yesterday. See, we usually pray for strength to resist the temptation and for victory over Satan's attacks. But Jabez's prayer reminds us of one very simple strategy that we often overlook. God keeps us away from temptation, or God, please, keep us away from temptation and keep the devil at bay in our lives. Nearly a quarter of the words, the 50 words in the Lord's Prayer, ask for deliverance. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Nothing there about spiritual insight or special powers. Not a word about confrontation. When was the last time that we prayed like that? You know, without temptation, we wouldn't sin. And most of us face too many temptations and therefore sin too often, because we don't pray. We don't ask God to lead us away from sin. How much better to avoid temptation than to concentrate on beating it? And that's how God teaches us to pray. So, Annette, you're right. We shouldn't have all those cakes in the house. Sorry. You know, Satan is a deceiver. He wraps a little truth into the things that he says, these lies that he gives to trick us. He even managed to trick Adam and Eve, and they were perfect, weren't they? God's first creation. So we also need to ask for his protection. The further we move into the new things for God, so the more exposed is our flanks to Satan's attacks. Someone once said, our danger is not being on the precipice, it's being unwatchful when we're there. A tiny indulgence of pride or self-confidence can spell disaster. We need to pray against those dangers. And also, the risks, you know, or the situations that we think we can risk because of our experience. Because it's all pride and carelessness. And we need to pray for protection from temptations that pull at our emotions and our physical needs. You know, those thoughts that say, well, I deserve ... whatever it is. We don't have any rights. We don't deserve anything. God is the true source of all that is really life. But having said all that, there are some situations that we will not be able to avoid. And we must be able to confront the spiritual attack. And then we can stand in confidence on God's word that says, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Paul told the Colossians that God had made them alive together with Christ, and that having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. We're on the winning side, amen? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. So that's the prayer of Jabez. More blessing, more territory, more power and protection. And you know, God really ministered to me as I prepared for today. See, I'd gotten complacent. Probably a bit too comfortable. And particularly as I thought about Mr. Jones opening that box of undelivered blessings, I felt totally convicted. I felt close to tears. And I couldn't go on before I actually went to God and asked his forgiveness. Lord, I'm sorry. See, I've not been praying Jabez's prayer recently. But I'll tell you what. I've started praying it again. Amen. I've started praying it again. And maybe it's time for each one of us to start praying that prayer. I'm going to finish there. I don't know if you've got a piece of paper or a marker that you can put in your Bible, because I believe that God wants you, every single person here, to enjoy those same privileges, that same power, the same expansion of your territory, all of that which we've just read about, protection, and that the hands of the Lord would be upon you. And I just want to give you a challenge, really. I'm due to speak again in about 3 weeks, I think it is. And I'll tell you, it would really thrill me if I didn't have to speak that week. I know I don't speak very often. but if you was to pray that every single day, I bet in 3 weeks' time, we'd have a load of people come up here with testimonies about what God has done for you. Can you believe that? I can believe that. I hadn't planned to say that, but as I was praying this morning, I felt God just ask me to give you that challenge. Are you up for it? It's only a couple of lines. Now, Jabez was more honourable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we believe that it's a word in season, Lord God, that you want to encourage us to pray with boldness, Lord God, and believe, Lord God, that you want to bless us. And Father God, we just say that we don't want to miss any of the blessings that you have for us. Father, we want to receive those blessings, Lord God, and we want to be more effective in your service. Father, we want to make you famous. Lord, will you increase our territory, Father, that we might do that? Would your hand be upon us, Lord God, in those situations, Lord God, that we don't know what to say, we don't know what to do? Father God, would you give us that power, the power of your Holy Spirit, to effect a change in those situations and people's lives, Lord God? And Father, we pray, especially, Lord God, that you would keep us out of danger. Father God, that you would keep the evil one away from us. Father, that you would keep temptation at bay in our lives, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, amen.